I got the phone. I wish I went, to be honest with you, because it was an horrendous showing. For all the 10 minutes in the first half, we showed the first 10 minutes we were alright, but after that we just fell to pieces, David, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, did you see anything there that, and I'll ask this one to Ian, did you see anything about that game, Ian, that made you feel that we could, as the manager did, that there were signs that we could put together a 5-match winning sequence?
In a word, no.
Yeah, spot on.
There was nothing, there was absolutely nothing there that I looked at and I thought, were we better than we were at Blackburn? Yes, but we went from appalling to awful. Apart, look, like Dan said, first 10 minutes, we were okay. We had more of the ball than they did, but that's never a good thing with Bristol City because we can't both keep the ball and attack well. We can't pass. We haven't got anybody that can pass it. We've got nobody that can play a clever ball through a defence, or nobody in that 11 anyway, let's put it that way. I mean, we can talk about Casey Palmer, I expect we'll move on to that later on, but I looked at it,
and Liam,
I think it was awful from
you thought it was awful as well.
Yeah, from we've got nothing in the centre of the park, nothing in the field, absolutely nothing. And if you've got nothing in midfield, you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. So, but I mean, again, I'll put this question across to Dan. Dan, the starting lineup on Sunday, did you feel that made sense, making all of those changes? Pereira was injured, but did you think that they were valid changes? Or putting a phobia out on the wing, that was a bit of a, well, seemed a bit bizarre, really, didn't it?
Well, I knew there'd be changes, but I didn't think he needed to make 7 of them. I thought 3 or 4. I thought Foley would start and Wells would start, but I called for Palmer to start because you're at home. You're the home team. The emphasis on you is to attack. And then he had a Foley on the wing, like you say. It was ridiculous. I didn't get that at all. And the midfield was just non-existent, to be honest with you, David.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Ian, we've had no problem scoring goals up until about the last 3 months, but then we had, based on current market value, and we bought one of them, we had £24 million worth of defenders sat on the bench, yet we get done for a training ground routine goal where Baker gets snuffled out. And Ashley Williams looked like he was half asleep when the ball came across for that first one, didn't it?
Yeah, well, the ball was headed from exactly where Pham normally is when he's defending a corner. But it was a very simple block. And it's not the first time we've been caught on it. I think we got caught on it when we played Birmingham as well. And it's something that's why you have a guy like Pham who's there to attack the ball in that area about 8, 10 yards from the near post. And once you fail, Dave, is something going on? This sounds like somebody's chucking a bag of spanners about.
Yeah, no, there's a bit of interference coming in there. I don't know what's causing that. That sounds very bizarre. A bit of feedback. All this new technology. We got a few people in the room listening, so apologies to everybody. It's the first time we've tried to do it live. Try again, Ian. Try again.
Yeah, I think. Oh, that's better. We're talking about the defending. When you look at
talk about the defenders being had for that first goal.
Yeah, I mean, I was in favour of playing a defensive midfield player from the start, and my suggestion was either Benkovic or Viner, and playing 3 centre backs. Now, if we'd have played them and started Pham with a phobie and played 3-5-2 with 2 up front, I don't think we'd have conceded either of those goals. I think they'd have been both cleared from the near post, but we seem to be. Lee Johnson seems to have a bit of a motto in life, which is if it ain't broke, break it. And I think that if you look at the if you look at our progress, and I'll put that in parentheses, if you put that in progress, you look where we are now, we're about exactly the same as we have been every other season. In fact, and in terms of our win rate and our points taken, I'll give you the numbers during his tenure a little bit later on, if you like, Dave, and the position we're in. And I just don't see it improving. And it isn't improving. And that's the whole point. It's all right, people saying, well, you know, we're a position higher than we were last year. Isn't everything great? But when you think of, when you look at what we've spent, I don't think the progress is good enough. And what I've been watching, to be honest, most of this season in last has been absolute dross at Ashton Gate.
I titled this debate the case for and against LJ keeping his job as head coach. Now, I've been looking at the forum today. There's loads of different topics on there. And there is one that is entitled the case, still I believe in, LJ friend. And there's one particularly good post here from Bat Faster. Yeah. And I'll just read an extract on it. And it said, Lee is central to a large project to keep building the club towards sustainability, blah, blah, blah. Lee is a good front man for City and speaks and behaves well, has developed a good infrastructure of medical and coaching staff. Yeah, I'm reading extracts from it. If you look back over the past 50 years or so, we are in a better position now than we have been for more than 80% of that time. There is no other reason to believe that things will not continue to improve in the years ahead. He has got profit in the transfer market. You know, what that's the case for. Yeah, so again, I'll ask Liam, because you haven't been able to say much so far. Liam, do you think we should stick or twist? And if we twist, when do we twist?
Twist.
Yeah.
And I think after the Cardiff
game, when? I mean, if we our season's over already. Yeah. See how the next two games go.
Yeah. If the next two games go bad, then I reckon you should get rid of him.
Yeah. Yeah. And who would your first choice be for having a replacement, if that proves to be the case?
It would be Chris Hughton.
That seems to be a popular choice. Ian, how do you feel about Chris Hughton? There's mixed views about him if you read various fans' forums of some of the clubs he's been at. He's been messed around, I think, a few times. Certainly he was treated badly at Newcastle, if I call correctly. But Ian, do you think Chris Hughton would be a popular choice and a likely choice?
Both. I think he did well at Newcastle, and that's a really difficult club to manage because their expectations are the same as Liverpool, but their investment is probably the same as ours. And if you look at, I think he did a good job at Brighton. I mean, when we played them at Ashton Gate, and I think it was Steve Sidwell scored that goal from about 70 yards. I think, you know, they looked head and shoulders above us. They looked better, stronger, sharper, quicker, and I'd disagree with that article on the basis of it being almost factually naive. Can I just give you these numbers about how we've done? The first 15-16 when he came in, he had 16 games with everybody else's players, okay? Now, his win rate was 44% and his points take was 50% and we finished 17th. 16-17, the win rate was 33%, points 39%. We finished 16th, but we were about 4 points from memory off being relegated.
That's right, yeah.
17-18, win rate 37%, points 49%. Position 11th, 18-19, win rate 41%, points 51%, position 8th. Okay?
Yeah.
Where we are now, 19-20, played 39 games, the win rate is 39%, points 47%, and positions 12th. Mm. So if you look at an average win rate of about 38.6%, average wins 18 a season, about 54 points. So If you take the average points take, the average points take out of that is 47.4%, which would give you 65 points, which would get you promoted absolutely never. It wouldn't get you in
I think you're right. I mean, look, good numbers. It is all about numbers. And look, what is progress? I mean, we were eighth. So progress has to be seventh. And as the chairman said, he wanted top six. You know, I've had people say to me that we should really be top six, nailed on, if not challenging for top two, which we were at some stages, right? But the fact of the matter is, this season, we could end up failing not only to be seventh or above, in fact, not, we could have less points and be four or five places down the league. And this whimsical notion that the chairman has that, well, we want to be like it was under Alan Dix when he joined in 67 and he got us up in 76. That is half a century ago, more than half a century ago, that Alan Dix started rebuilding this club to take it where it hadn't been for 65 years. So, you know, do we think that, you know, that the, you know, just the whole, I mean, we had this idea of the five pillars a few years ago,
Dave, can I just interrupt you? Dave, can I just interrupt you there? You got that wrong. It's not five pillars. That was a spelling mistake. It's five pillocks.
All right, let's look at this another way then. All right, look, season's over. Yeah. We talked about this on in another one of our chats. It might not be online. Right, so the season's over against Cardiff. Yeah. If we take the view that Lee isn't going to leave, right, then for the remaining five games of the season, right, does he experiment with the side? We know he can't play Walsh, Morrell, Taylor Moore. Somebody correct me here. What's the situation with the likes of Backinson and Hines? Are they out on loan? Are they playable? You know, what's
Not unless we get a ton of injuries.
Or COVID-19 cases.
Yeah.
Yeah, five or six of them, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, probably closer to about 10, to be honest. Because we've got, don't forget, we've got 26 players to pick from now.
Mm.
So you'd and there's 20 in a match day squad. So you'd need 6 to 8 injuries, I suppose. And that they can't play. And they, in terms of, you know, you've got to play academy or under 23 players about a go. So you might have to bring in Hines and Backinson before you could play, say, Liam Walsh. And we're all assuming that these guys are all training and they're fit.
Mm.
I don't know if anybody knows for sure whether they're in training and fit.
I'm not sure now.
I mean, let's talk about going back to the midfield. Some people have been saying this week, and there was a very good graphic shown on one of the, I think it was on one of the Twitter feeds, total lack of midfield. And we let Pat go, right? We let Pat go. Smith at the start of the season wasn't fit because he didn't come back until Christmas. We let Pat go and we let Walsh and Morrell go out on loan. Yeah, so Pat going, those going out on loan, we've been light in midfield since the start of the season, haven't we, really?
Can I just say something?
Yeah, go on. Just chip in if you want, anytime. Go on.
Every team in the top six has a midfield spine. We don't have that. We don't have that. If you don't have a midfield spine, you're going nowhere.
And
Pat going, yes, he wasn't the best player, but 9 times out of 10, he was there.
Yeah. So, well, he gave a bit of height in the middle of the field, didn't
that's
he?
What we're,
he gave a bit of height.
That's what we're lacking at the moment. We've just got no height, and we're just getting overrun in midfield every week. We got overrun it last week at Blackburn, and the same happened yesterday. It's just, I don't know what more I can say about it, Dave, to be honest with you.
Yeah, go on.
In any games that any of you have seen this season, have we been in control of?
I can't bring any.
I think that's questionable. I can't think of any.
I can't bring any either to mind. I can think of phases in games.
Have we been in control of a single match from start to finish?
No.
I think there've been matches. I think there've been matches where we have played well. There's no doubting that.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
part of Fulham away. Yeah. Some, one or two of the home games. Yeah, we've been in control, but we've never looked sure.
Most of the games play, that I
identity. You know, we're talking about the high press of 17-18. Yeah.
In most of the games that I've watched, it's too end to end. It's too easy for teams to go back to front. And we're missing that midfield kind of, you know.
General.
Yeah.
Well, those of us that are of a certain age, and Ian and I, we fall into that category. I mean, how we could do with somebody like a Gary Shelton, or even, and he wasn't that culture, but he had a good presence. You remember Kenny Stroud?
Kenny Stroud
was a good, rock solid midfielder, wasn't he?
Well, Kenny Stroud was what would in this day and age be called a holding midfield player. Because years ago, you didn't have a holding midfield player. You had a bloke called a ball winner. But Kenny was a holding midfield player, and he was tough. If you look at the players we got, I would put Liam Walsh and Joe Morrell into our midfield in front of any of the players currently at the club. So, and they were both let out on loan. I remember Liam Walsh coming on against Stoke at Ashton Gate.
He ran the midfield
for the second half. And it was only because Jack Butland was in goal that Stoke didn't get beat 5-0.
I remember that game. Yeah.
Now, there isn't another midfielder at our club, with a possible exception of Joe Morrell, who could do that. We could have recalled both in December, particularly if we had a gut feeling that Brownhill would go. And I've got no problem with players going, because once their head's been turned, we saw it with Adam Webster, that it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
Once a big comes in and they know that the club's eventually going to take it, they're a waste of time. So I'm okay with Josh going for $7 million plus two in add-ons.
Yeah, no, that's good business. That was good business. But then Henriksen, didn't we all think when Henriksen came on board that he was a Norwegian international. Yeah, he's a player of reasonable standard. And he offered that height in the middle that Josh certainly didn't have. You know, that's another one that's gone a bit Pete Tong, hasn't it? You know, in terms of transfers that haven't worked out. I mean, what do you think, Liam, of... Henriksen, why do you think that hasn't worked out for him? Is it personality clash or lack of interest, as is often levelled against lone players?
I'm not sure. After Pack went in summer, I would have got in January a strong central midfielder. But Henriksen, it seems like he was in and out of hole, so he wasn't really playing games.
Yeah,
he wasn't fit. I don't think either. I don't think he was fully.
Well,
fit.
I think that was part of the problem. I mean, talking about problems.
Can I just make a point?
Yeah, go on.
Do you think that if we look back at what happened last summer?
Yeah.
When Pack went, was it Adam Nardge? His replacement.
Well, this is it. I mean, it's an interesting point. Yeah. Adam Nardge, Ian, we've talked about Nardge, Hungarian international.
Because
he's not. Yeah, they're two different types of players. I admit that, Liam. Yeah, but Nardge, right? He's not lived up to expectation, has he? And he didn't exactly cover himself in glory, the way he seemed to be more concerned on his international career than he did on playing for Bristol City, which probably didn't go down well with Lee, would it? Ian, what's your view on that?
Well, I think the issue that you've got with Nadge and all of the players that Lee Johnson signed, with the exception of Henriksen, and you have to ask, when we signed Henriksen, we signed him from Hull, but he wasn't at Hull because they banished him from the club. And he'd gone back to Norway. Now, at the end of the day, there's a reason for that. And it's a little bit like the Lee Tomlin saga, where you think, oh, well, he's a really good lad and other managers haven't been able to manage him. No, he's an asshole, right? You know, why was he in the land of the banished? And the reason is the whole manager didn't want him around the club because he was a disruptive influence. Mm. Same thing applies to Tomlin. He lasted 5 minutes with Neil Warnock, 10 yeah. minutes with Eddie Howe. So they're all people who you look at and you think, yeah, he's a good player, but they're mavericks. And
yeah.
Lee Johnson, I think, like his dad, can't be doing, he can't deal, he can't manage mavericks. Now, somebody like Warnock took one look at Tomlin in training and all the rest of it and said, right, fella, you're off. Go out on loan.
Yeah.
And he duly went
out on loan. Let's talk about mavericks. Yeah, let's talk about mavericks. In our current side, probably the only person that is a maverick who, in my opinion, would have felt, if I was him, shat upon from a great height yesterday, and that's Casey Palmer. Now, the case for Casey Palmer is that he showed two or three occasions that he can find a pass and he can hit a good shot, right? But on too few occasions, yeah? Yesterday, he probably could feel justified in that, God, I should have been able to at least get 20 minutes. But far too many times for me, yeah, and I want to see creative players, but Casey Palmer would get the ball with the club on the players on the front foot, and he'd lose possession in that very centre and put us under pressure. Do any of you guys agree with that view, that whilst he's good, he's a little bit of a liability at losing the ball in those difficult positions?
I think...
Anybody?
I think yes, but if you have that midfield structure, that won't happen.
Yeah, so you could cope with having somebody like him.
Yeah, if you got the kind of midfield to kind of, you know,
hold it up.
Yeah, if you know what I mean.
I mean, what about? Sorry, Ian.
If
you have O'Dowda, you can't have O'Dowda and Palmer in the same side, can you?
No, you can't have O'Dowda, Eliasson and Patterson in the same side, but we tried it at Blackburn and it was a disaster.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you can't have lightweight, non-tackling players. And that's what they are. You look at the players in our team and you think, right. And if you play football, you look at players and you think, well, I don't fancy him tackling me. There aren't that many in our team. No. And there's a lot of players there that they're too lightweight. And this is why you tried to sign somebody bigger to do the holding role in Henriksen. And it didn't work out. And the only players that we've got that fit that big, mobile, tall position is either Benkovic, who can play that position in front of the back four, because he's actually quite good at bringing it out from a lot of films I've seen, or Zach Viner, who played holding midfield for Aberdeen. So, you know, who's 6'2" and is a bit of an athlete. So, if you want, but you need that shape and that pattern so people know what they're doing. And I agree about Palmer. He's a bit like Jackanowski. I always remember the old manager, Dennis Smith, talking about Jackanowski, and people said, oh, well, his work rate's terrible and he does this, he does that. And he said, what I've said to the players is, look, you do all his tackling for him. You win the ball. You kick people. You do all the rest of it. Then, when you've got the ball, don't try and do anything clever with it, because you can. Give it to him. Yeah, and that's exactly the same as you need to say.
Let's start looking. We're coming because he said we keep this to half an hour today for our first one, but we could go on. But I just want to talk in the last 10 minutes, no more than that, we talk about the Forest game tomorrow, Wednesday, last of all, but let's talk about next season, what the squad's going to look like, because we're living in a post or still COVID era at the moment, the season ends from a transfer window perspective, I guess we're going to have the month of August. I can see 2021 season starting, I think it's already been said, second week of September. Right, who's going to leave? Do we think this? First of all, Dijou and Eliasson, will they be sold? Afobe, will he be retained? What will happen with Williams? So first of all, let's look at the two saleable prospects we have, Dijou and Eliasson. Do we think one or both will leave the club before the 1st of September?
I can't see either of them signing a new contract, and they've only got a year left, so we'll have to sell them both.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're going. Now, somebody correct me here. Corey Smith, has he signed to the end of the month?
Yeah, signed to the end of the month.
He's signed, has he? So he's on board. All right. What about Ashley Williams? What do we think of Ashley Williams? Because I thought he was a bit slow yesterday.
I think he'd be gone, Dave, to be honest with you. I think his age doesn't help as well. I think his best years are behind him, so I think we'll let him go.
So he wants to get one last payday out of him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I don't see Benkovic coming back unless things change.
No.
He's gone.
What about Afobe? Because you know it's one of these heart situations. I thought he spoke very eloquently in his interview on Radio Bristol yesterday. He's a really nice chap. He had the personal tragedy earlier in the year. I think he feels loved at Ashton Gate, but you know he's got that injury record. Do you think we could sign him on a half the wages he's on at Stoke and a pay-as-you-play to avoid the risk? Because we don't want to sign him and then he's crocked again. What are you guys' view on that one, Afobe? Sign him or say thanks and goodbye?
I would sign him. I'd sign him 100%. His character and his aura just is rubbed off on the players and the supporters love him. So if he could do a deal, then I would definitely sign him, yeah.
Yeah. Ian, what do you think?
It depends on the fee, Dave. You know, when Stoke bought him, they paid 12 million quid. And I've heard Mr. Coates, Stoke's chairman, the Bet365 owner, say that he wants his 12 million quid back. Now, what he wants and what he gets are two different things. But I think the least you get him for would be six, I would big guess. And he is on Premier Division wages. Which at the moment we're probably paying, because as a club, we don't pay loan fees now. Yeah. So there's no loan fee for him, but we will be picking up at 100% of his wages.
I read somewhere that the deal was done. Is agreed at about 8 mil.
That would seem a fair price.
That's not what Mark Ashton said to me when I asked him that very question. I said, Is there a deal done on Afobe a la the one we had with De Silva, which was 2 million quid? And he said, no, there isn't a deal done. And they didn't do anything, basically, because of his injury. Because with that ACL, he could have missed the entire season. Well, he would have missed the entire season if COVID wouldn't have come in. So it's going to be... Yeah. I think it will be a very difficult deal to do unless... Lansdowne fancies a gamble and we sell Giju and Eliasson for strong money.
Here we go. Right, I'm going to bring somebody else into the studio in a second who's asked us to come in. It's Fev, so I'm just going to click on here. Apologies if it doesn't work. We bring him into the room. Hello, Fev. Can you hear us?
Can you hear us, Fev? Can you hear me?
Brilliant. Okay, have you heard most of what we've been saying so far?
I've only just come on as you started to talk about Afobe.
All right, go on. Say, and is that what prompted you to come in with Afobe?
Yeah. I was hoping to get in a bit earlier and listen to all of it. I was just going to add really in there that, you know, supposedly we agreed a deal up front with him. Various rumours of a fee. But it's a real difficult one to understand whether he's going to... Is he going to be fit? And I think we need to wait and see what happens over these next six or seven games. Well, he'll have six because he won't be able to play against.
So play him right the way through.
Yeah.
Another player that we've got an option to buy is Pereira. Fev, since you've just come in, I mean, what's your view on Pereira? 5 million euros, £4 million, problem position for us at right back, although is that where Viner could see his future? What's your view on Pereira?
I really like him, actually. I think he's technically really, really good. But I think in current financial circumstances with COVID, I would say four and a half million is probably too much, but might be one in future.
Probably half of that.
If you could get him for two, something like that, two and a half, I think I'd be pretty keen on him, to be honest.
Well, I think two and a half in a clause. You might have missed it, Dave. It's Ian. When I spoke to Mark Ashton at the Senior Reds dinner, I asked him directly, have we got a deal for a Fobi like the one we had for Jada Silva, where a player comes in and we agree the fee in advance? So if he has a brilliant season, it's 2 million. If he has an average season, it's 2 million. And it's up to the player whether he wants to come. And Mark Ashton said, no, there's no deal arranged for a Fobi.
That's not what we were told at the time, is it? So when he signed.
Well, what we were also, there was also a lot of talk going on about loan fees. So I asked him directly and in front of 120 witnesses what the situation was with loan fees for all the players, like Pereira, Fobi. You know, Benkovic is a 13 million quid centre half. So you think there'd be a loan fee? And he said, yeah, no, categorically, we're not paying loan fees for any of the players we got.
I think it'd be
so, and I said about a Fobi, and he said, you know, you've got to talk about it at the time, because obviously a Fobi's had his career has been, not, I wouldn't say wrecked by injuries, but it's been badly affected by injuries. And that's probably the only reason he's down here, is because if he was fit and firing and getting 20 odd goals in the Prem, we'd be nowhere near.
He won't be playing
game
for us, would he? All right.
No.
Okay. No. Look, let's look forward. Let's look forward to Wednesday against Nottingham Forest at the City Ground. It is last chance saloon for City. I mean, I actually went back to the fixtures for 96-97 when John Ward took over from Joe Jordan. They sacked Joe Jordan with about 8 games to go, and Wardy won 5 out of the last 6. I remember going to Wickham. We lost. We still got the playoffs, winning 5 out of the last 6. Lost on the last day of the season at Wickham. And I think that defeat was the difference between having home advantage in the second leg. But we played Brentford and lost. So, you know, we've got to win. Well, 5 out of 6 probably isn't enough with our goal difference. But let's look forward to last chance saloon Wednesday night at Forest. And I'll go through each of you what you think the side should be. I'll come to you, Ian, last, because I know you've written down a side. But I want, first of all, do we think we should be playing 4-3-3, 4-4-2, or 3-5-2? Let's just get a view of that. Then I'm going to ask you, each of you, what you think your side should be. Right, first of all, 4-3-3, 4-4-2, or 3-5-2? Or something else, guys?
3-5-2.
Liam? Right, 3-5-2.
Yeah, 3-5-2.
There, Dan. And I think you said 3-5-2 as well, Ian, didn't you, this morning when we were talking?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so Febs, what would your lineup be with a 3-5-2 on Wednesday to beat Forest and keep things ticking over?
I would go Mainpa in goal.
Yep,
I'd have Jack Hunt and Jada Silva as my wing backs.
Yep.
I'd go Callas, Williams, and Baker as my centre backs.
Yep.
Play. I don't mind who plays as the kind of middle one out of the two, out of Callas or Williams. I quite like Williams for his organisation, but yeah, I'd go with those three in the back. I would go Naji and Masenga. Mm-hmm. And then I'd have Palmer as my one in between the two in midfield and the two up top.
Yeah.
And then I'd go Vyman and Wells up front.
Interesting. All right, Liam, any thoughts on that?
I put Nicky Mainpa in goal.
Yeah.
A back three of Nathan Baker, Callas, Ashley Williams.
Yeah.
You got the left wing back, Jay. Right wing back, Jack Hunt.
Yeah.
Two midfield, Nadj and Smith.
Yep.
And then 10 will be.
Yeah.
Casey Palmer. Famara and Wells.
Interesting. So broadly the same at the back, but okay. Now, was that you, Liam, or was it Dan speaking then? Was that Liam or Dan?
It was me.
Okay, Dan.
Yeah.
Right, what's your team?
I'd have Manipo in goal.
Yeah.
Wing backs, Jack Hunt and Jada Silva. The back three I'd have is Callas, Williams and Baker. I'd have Masingo and Naj in the field. I'd have Corey Smith in the 10. And I'd have Fobi and Pham up front.
All right, that's interesting. Corey Smith in the 10. Ian, now I've got your side that you put here, and there's an interesting selection, and I'll ask you the selection, but I'll read your side out, which I broadly agree with. But Ian's side was Mempa. I think we're all agreed on that. Callas Williams-Baker. Yep. I think everybody was consistent on that. De Silva and Hunt as the wing-backs. And then, Ian, you had, interestingly, Benkovic playing in front of the back three with Palmer and Smith in midfield, Diju and Afobe up front. So what was your rationale, Ian, behind selecting Benkovic in front of the back three?
I think we went out against Wednesday in Blackburn with a team of midgets. And you can't do that. And I'm speaking as a midget myself. You can't do that in the Championship unless you've got players like Barcelona, and we definitely haven't. You can't have a small team. You need power, you need height, and you need strength, and you need to look at the other side needs to look at you and think, he looks a nasty bastard. I don't want to play against him. And you put Benkovic in the side. You've got a 6'4", 6'5" fella who's tall and can actually play football and pass the ball. Then you've got Palmer, who's big and tall, and he can actually pass the ball. So you've got a fighting chance of the wing-backs actually getting up the pitch and getting the ball. Yeah. Corey can rat around and do what Corey does. And he's not the biggest, but you've got Zizou, who we missed badly in both penalty boxes on Saturday until he came, Sunday until he came on. And Afobe, I think, is the best striker down there on his day out of all of them.
If he
can only last 60 minutes, you've got Naki Wells fit and firing on the bench. You've got Voyman on the bench.
Yeah.
And you've got people in midfield that if, all right, you're 2-0 up with 15 minutes left, it's coming on top a little bit. You drag Casey Palmer off and put Tommy Rowe on the left-hand side of midfield and say, right, if it moves, kick it. And Tommy Rowe can get forward and get a goal as well, because he's a half-decent footballer and he's got a decent left foot, and it gives you that little bit of balance.
No, that's true. That's true.
Or you could play Zach Viner as a holding midfield player, and he did actually play there for Aberdeen. Now, how well he did, I don't know, but the Aberdeen fans I've communicated with on Twitter, whatever, were really sorry to lose him and thought he could play right back, centre-half, or in that midfield.
Well, that's
position.
The role. That tall central midfielder. Yeah, that tall midfielder. That's the sort of role that if he was any good, and maybe next season it's a chance for him to come into his own, but that's where that Tyreek Backinson can play that Patrick Vieira type of dominant force in the middle. Look, it's we've gone over the half hour that I set, but it's been interesting. I just want to invite Fevs back in, because you missed the beginning part of it, Fevs. What's your view on the Lee Johnson situation, as in stick or twist? Do you think he's bulletproof and come what may, even if we were to lose the next five, he'll still be there leading us out at the start of next season in early September? What's your view on that, Fevs, if I may ask?
I think if it was me being the billionaire owner, I would twist at this point. I think he's had 4.5 years. Really like the guy. Love his affinity for City. You know, he's hard working. There's no doubt on that. But I just see too many, I'll call them faults or flaws, with the way he sets his team up, the way we've recruited, etc. Developing players, you can argue he's done a good job on that, or maybe Mark Ashton's done a good job in selling players on for good fees. I think there's been too many players that have come in that middle age group who have not improved under him and actually gone back. So I think, there's a big argument that says good at developing younger players.
Yeah.
But his track record with anyone kind of 25, 26, I can only think of one player off the top of my head that I think he's realistically improved who is older than 26, and that's Aidan Flint. And that to me is quite
That's true.
Quite a big
that
argument.
That's very true.
He's had a good go, and he's progressed us in some, but not enough to the investment that he's had. That's my view.
Not enough. As we said at the weekend, we've plateaued since the tail end of 2017. And then he had very few players to choose from. Okay, they were knackered, but for all the money that's been spent, as you said, billionaire chairman, you would expect this day and age something a bit more for your money than we've got.
Could I just
but there we go. Guys, look, it's been the first time we've done this. Yeah, go on, quick one before we go.
He's got all the tools and he doesn't know how to use them.
I think you're spot on with that. Guys, look, Wednesday night, we're doing during the Nottingham Forest game. And Ian, I hope you're going to watch the game. I don't know. We were sat watching the game on Sky yesterday. We can't do commentary. Not allowed to do that. But we can talk about the game. I think what made me set up this podcast was I was listening to the commentary on the Blackburn game, and it's difficult when you're on the staff not to be critical because, you know, somebody's paying your wages there, so you don't want to be critical on that front. But what we'll do Wednesday is we'll have an open mic on this, yeah? If anybody else wants to contribute, yeah, the easiest way to get in touch with me, if you're not on Twitter, is to email me at headhuntergb@gmail.com. So I'll repeat that, headhuntergb@gmail.com. If you want to come on the program or anything else that we want to do of this ilk, get in touch. Give us your views as well on the fans forum. Yeah, there's some great contributors on there that I'd like. You're one of them, Fevs. Great contributors on there that I'd like to talk to. And as I say, you know, OSIB, they've been in touch with us saying any help we can provide. You know, there's room for everybody here in the sense of podcasts, OSIB, BS3 Talk. You know, we all want to talk about one thing, which is Bristol City. We all want what is the best for City, which is decent football and to get into the Prem. In fact, after the last 2.5 years, some decent home form will be something anyway. Any final things any of you want to say before we wrap up?
Roll on Wednesday.
Yeah. Roll on Wednesday. Thanks a lot for contributing. I'm going to end the live broadcast, but you guys might still stay in the studio. Here we go. End of live show. Yeah, if we go, guys that have been contributing, and that includes you, Ian, Fevs, Liam, and Dan. Thanks for what you've done tonight. You've got my mobile, most of you.
Yeah,
but get in touch.
Yeah, I think.